Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to Playful Podcast, your guide into the underground scene where we discover topics on kink and electronic music every week. Don't forget to subscribe to not miss out on our next episode. We are excited to be here today with Italian producer Alarico and Swiss producer Schler, who have gone together as Funkasalt, both strongly shaped by 90s techno, and with Funkasalt, they say they create better music than any one of them do individually. In this interview, I am basically useless, and it's more so done by the two of them alone, but the energy and content is beaming. We don't only get to know them better separately, but also together. We speak about who they were as teenagers, how they met, and what inspires the creations by Funkasalt compared to their individual productions. Also, who they are in the studio, and some about what scares them with the development of the techno scene, the impact of TikTok techno, and why that could potentially harm the scene, as well as some struggles they have been through in life personally. Let's get into it. I am Amanda, and this is Playful Podcast.
I don't know if I can mention the artist, but a huge artist told me that his brother came to him and said, and this artist is actually doing like really like proper old like techno that was made at first when techno became something, right? And his brother came to him and he said, I love techno, but what you do is not techno. And he was like, why? And he said,
I remember.
And then he showed him like videos on TikTok of someone playing at 155 BPM, hard schrance, whatever. Like, he was like, this is techno. What you play is like super chill. And I think this is maybe just a theory I could have at some point, but I generally believe that there would still be a scene for us and so on and so on. Just like the fact that as it's being marketed as being techno, people rather focus on something that for me isn't, and then do not get educated about the values and so on of it.
Yeah. Could you guys explain each other with three words?
Oh,
you start.
Nah, straight up. Because it's funny, we were in driving and he said, do you want me to tell you right away? What do I think of you? It's like, nah, let's take it for later. You go.
But I actually have no words.
Yeah.
I'm speechless. I'm joking. For Alarico, I would say super cheerful, very friendly guy. Like, it's a person that as soon as you meet, you feel comfortable with. So that's one word. Second one, it's a bit cliche, but I would say like talented as fuck, like for real. From all the artists I met, the guy has a sense of aesthetic that.
Thanks, bro.
No, but I swear, like that's why I'm doing this project also with you. You know, it's crazy. And the third word, Italian.
With everything that comes with it.
Being late.
Yeah.
No.
Is that very Italian?
Yeah, but no, aside from Italian, so third word that is like really describing you. I would say,
I think more than maybe Italian and lazy, maybe chilled.
Yeah, like, very. That's what I thought when I thought very relaxed.
Yeah,
but not in a bad way. Like just in the way of enjoying life, in a good way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. really nice.
That's cute. Mm-hmm. I kind of knew it, but no, thank you.
And you then?
So I really thought about it, and I think it's kind of limiting a bit.
Okay.
Because Charles is very, I think, complex guy. And but if I have to pick three, the first one will be very like dedicated. Okay. I think you're very like, you have a really strong vision of what you want to do. Also, aside from music, like in different aspect, and that's very like also inspiring for me. I think because you're very like in a tunnel sometimes, and like I have focus and dedicated. I think it's nice. Mm. Then you're I think you're stubborn in a good way.
It's good with the first
you have
one.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. have and I think it's linked to the first one. You have certain ideas, and sometimes maybe not with me, but I think with many people you really want to push this idea, and it's sometimes clashing with each other's opinion, you know.
We're not making like the what you don't like with me.
No, like but that's like it's just describing you, you know.
Yeah, I know I'm a bit radical.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but it can be good, you know, also.
Yeah, definitely.
So and the last one is I think you're very loyal as like a guy.
Okay.
You're very loyal to like to people, especially the one that are really close to you, I think.
Yeah.
With me or like with Mark, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. just very loyal and also loyal to your like kind of values and stuff.
Yes, yeah.
I think it's describes it pretty well.
Yeah, that's like a solid trust between you then.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we can really rely on each other.
Yeah,
and we also demand a lot, I think, to
each
other.
Yeah,
like work wise.
So, who were you then when you were teenagers?
Man, I was boring.
You were boring.
I was. I don't know. Like I was. Yeah. I'm not saying, like, I was always, like, kind of the good guy, but also a bit antisocial at the same time.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, I wasn't really, like, because now you seem very friendly.
Man, it's insane. Like, you're the total opposite.
I mean, I was always, not quiet, but very, like,
okay,
low-key.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
You feel so social.
Crazy.
Yeah, and I especially my teenagers. But then, I mean, I only had, like, I was very super close with a couple of friends, and that's it. Like I was kind of
okay,
a bit like this as a kid, but yeah.
What made you change to be like super cheerful and so on? I didn't know this about you.
I don't know. I think it was just came naturally after like finishing school
and doing what you love. Maybe
exactly. Okay. Because I mean, I think music. If you don't put yourself out there in terms of wanting to meet people and experience stuff, it just backfires at you, you know.
That's true.
So I think also maybe starting going to clubs a bit more and like meeting people and
because
wanting to play for certain parties.
You force yourself to be social.
Exactly.
I mean, okay, it's funny because I think there is like being social and there is being you. Because
I
believe I'm social myself, but when I see you how you are with people, it's really something natural. Okay. I don't know. But okay, funny.
I think it's just evolution.
Yeah. Like you are Pokemon.
Yeah, like a Pokemon.
Like a Pokemon. Sick.
And me as a teenager. So I think I was like really... I was a bit... So it's like, I don't know, like when you ask me the question, I think of myself when I was in high school. So yeah, teenage years. So... You know, like there is always this group of people in the class which are a bit like joking around and not being so serious about it, and there is the rest of the students either being themselves or like being quiet or whatever, and I was always in between. You know, I was like, of course, like most of my friends were like messing around and stuff, and I was like doing some crazy shit. I mean, not crazy shit, but you know, being a student. Being a teenager,
but at the same time,
I was like, I was serious. Also, you know, I was not failing. I never failed. Like, I was this kind of guy who was a bit annoying to the teacher. Like, I don't really follow class, but I always get good grades because of my parents. They were super, like, also demanding of myself. So I had to get good grades, And but at the same time, I was also like not so serious. And I regret this a bit sometimes because I realized afterwards that like high school is like, especially in Switzerland, which is very high quality education, it's like free education and it's just stuff you should embrace. But yeah.
But so, did you study really hard when you got home from school, or were you just this kind of person who got it?
I don't really like this description, like you got it or
yeah,
you don't.
Yeah, everyone's gonna be, fuck you.
It depends of the
I
subject.
I hate those kids.
It depends on the subject, to be honest. Like, yeah. I had certain disciplines with which I had a lot of, when it was coming not to me naturally, and some where it was harder, but I loved to work on, and some that I really didn't like and that I didn't work. So I was compensating with very good grades, like those one where I had like average grades, of course. But so no, in general, I wasn't working so much. I started producing music when I was like 13 years old. So when I came back school, except if I had like huge tests to work on, I was mostly just working on music. I never did my homework. And like, as a good example of who I was before, you know, like you always have like a schedule when you are at high school,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
where you write stuff. I didn't have one.
You didn't have it?
At all. For my 3 years of high school, I didn't even have one at all. I was always writing on the group when is the next test and so on. But yeah, that's basically it, I guess. Then I came to Berlin and I became someone totally different.
Yeah, like, when did you move to Berlin?
Personally, 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Right after high school. I mean, you do high school in Switzerland, then army, because army is mandatory.
Uh-huh.
And then I came right after and I knew that it was like the time of my life, you know. So when I came to Berlin, I like for the first 2 years, no, a year and a half, I didn't go out
at all.
At all. I stayed home, worked my whole time. Like so really like friends coming to see me, they were like, Charles, who are you, man? I didn't know about you. But I was really stressed. Like I knew I had to make it work because my parents like really taught me that it was something that was hard to achieve, but they supported me a lot.
To be honest, me and you, when I would say on average, we don't really go out on the weekends.
True. I mean, because now we are lucky enough to play every weekend.
Yeah,
but now if I can choose between, if I have like a free weekend, if I can choose between going out or not, I don't.
Yeah,
I'd
me too.
Stay and chill for sure.
Because there's a lot of this, of artists, I think, that, I mean, at least I don't know, the one I know, like, they just come back from the gigs
and
they
go
just straight to Bergen.
Yeah.
Is it like the Sunday ritual?
Yeah, I couldn't do
to
that.
To party
I mean,
till like Monday. Yeah.
To be honest, after my uni here, like I had a phase where I was going a lot to Bergen, like nearly every weekend. Because I think the place is really inspiring and whatever.
Yeah.
And I like to go there sometimes, once in a while. But now I couldn't do all this. Like it's physically so tiring, especially if you walk during the week and so on.
Yeah, but you moved here for the music.
Yeah, yeah. 5 years ago. And you?
I moved here for my girlfriend. Yeah, no, but it's true.
So it's me?
Yeah. Okay. You know how Saran is my girlfriend?
Yeah.
When I say something, Charles, have to do something with Charles. Ah, you're second wife. No, but basically, I moved here because of my girlfriend. But also, we started working together. And while I wasn't there.
True.
And also it made sense for us to push.
And
the
you were actually
further,
starting to see your actual girlfriend when we met.
Yeah, I think
For the first time.
So it was kind of blended together.
So it was like
it was just like 6 months ago. Very fresh. But I've been on and off from Berlin since like 4 years already.
Yeah.
Every 2 months I would just go here, party and just test the city a bit. The old ones.
Sound checking the city.
Yeah, sound checking the city. I always wanted to move here. So
But when you were like kids or teenagers, what did you envision you were going to work with?
Do you want to go first?
You can go.
I don't know. I mean, personally, so I had in my whole life, I wanted to do three things. I was really simple. The first part of my life, I wanted to be like an archaeologist. It was a passion of mine. Yeah. Because my grandfather, my grandfather, like was an archaeologist himself and an historian, and we used to go in Switzerland. There is a lot of places where you can still dig some fossils and stuff. And until I was like 12 something, I wanted to do that. Then for a while,
it's really sweet.
Yeah.
Then for a while, I mean, no, actually, until my high school. And then for a while, I didn't know. And then at high school, I really fell in love with like certain disciplines, and I thought about studying physics because it's a really big center of interest of mine. And that's actually what I wanted to study because, you know, like you grew in Switzerland, and I guess in a lot of countries, like the stigmas are still there. So you grow up and you go to high school, and then you just go straight to university, and you have to choose which sort of things you want to like study. And it's quite uncommon to already know if you want to be an artist or not, right?
Yeah.
So I thought it was like something that would say my hobby.
It's like a shaming also if you if you try to become an artist and aren't successful.
Yeah. But even if you are successful, I mean, I myself, like, it's another story, but I've still like struggled sometimes to accept what I am made for, let's say.
But you have very good support from home, no?
Yeah, but it's not necessarily support that I need. It's more the fact that I should accept that being what I am is actually useful to society. But
I remember we had this talk.
Yeah,
we were eating pasta and we were like, I was looking at him like, do you feel like you're really working?
Yeah.
You know, like it's especially for art related stuff.
Yeah.
And when you really love something, it can be tricky because you do actually put a lot of effort and work, but at the same time, doesn't feel
it's
like
passion,
it because you don't have like
and
a
also
nine
like
to
the
five
society.
Jobs.
Yeah, I mean, I saw like a study like asking people what they think would be the job less useful and to consider first,
exactly,
like artists were first, obviously.
But, it's kind of tricky. Yeah.
So yeah, like I want to study physics. I actually applied for the university back in Switzerland already, and my father like he came to me and he said, "Yeah, you listen." It's, if you want to study this, go, but why don't you study music in the end? Like, I see you do this way more often. Yeah.
That's nice.
And thanks to him, I came to Berlin, actually. I just needed this small push that makes me realize that it's actually something you can do. And then I came to Berlin, and it's, I think, the best choice I ever did, of course.
Yeah. But you still struggle with the fact that you don't feel useful.
Yeah, big time. But I mean, it's getting better. I mean, the more I talk about it, the better it gets. But it's tricky. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I mean, it helps so much, so many people. I think this is like why it's important also to be in contact somehow with the people who enjoy what you do and to hear from them how much it actually does for them.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And also being in contact with people that inspires you.
Yeah.
Such as. But that's basically it. Like when I came to Berlin, and as I said before, I don't know how to say it, but like I knew that I will make this as my job, so there was no other option. So my whole life when I came to Berlin, I knew that I will live out of my music, and there was no other option, so I would do anything to make it work.
And it shows fact that I see you as dedicated.
Yeah, I guess. But that's it, basically. So you it was long.
So basically I think I had no idea at all till I was like 18, 19, when I wanted to, like, after high school you have gotta choose university. Mm-hmm. And at the same it was at that time that I was starting to dig through music a lot and producing more intensively. So I was like, there's no way I can ask my parents. I want to be a DJ, you know.
Okay.
As much as I was still doing it, because my father, he's like a doctor, and my mom is like involved with economics, and they had did a lot of university, you know. Especially my father, he was like 8 years in university, and he said like, "There's no way you're not gonna be university, bro." And I said, "You know what? Fair enough." but so basically, I kind of searched something that was music related. So I started studying like signal processing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So that afterwards I could do a master degree in like software for music, very related to like music production, like the making VSTs or like, but it was very related to music stuff. But then at the same time, I kept like, you know what, let's just keep making music without pressure. Let's see where it goes.
Yep.
And then there was the pandemic, and I was actually at the last year of my university, I was about to finish. So actually, I wasn't really ready to like become an artist full time and do it. At the same time, I really struggled in university during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I also heard a lot of people that were struggling during that time.
Yeah, of course.
It was
me too.
Really
like
crazy.
I am actually still studying.
Yeah, I know you do.
Are you still studying?
Yeah.
He is. insurance.
For the what?
For the cheaper insurance.
Ah,
I heard that.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Ah. No, no. Actually, I just. But I'm cutting you.
No, now. No, it's not good. You can say.
I'm just doing a master degree now in management, which is nothing related to what I studied before. But thanks to many things, I managed to get enrolled at this university, and yeah, I just postponed the last semester of my master degree because I have to write a master thesis and it takes ages.
Takes time. Yeah.
And I want to do something. Actually, I found a subject. I'm gonna tell you later.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like I was super busy gigging every week and, during the week, I also work a lot. So I couldn't find something. And then, I postponed it and now I'm still studying until June.
Okay. It was similar to me. I only missed one semester, but at the same time, you know, I was seeing like, music is going great. And when it was the exam period last year, I look at my mom and I said, look, I should do exams this month. But I'm playing 11 times.
Ah, yeah.
I was like, how can I do that? And she was like, you know what? I see you're really happy. Try to push yourself further. And it's working out.
What did Papa say?
Papa?
Yeah.
He said, my father, he also makes music and stuff. And he was like, you think you can really make money? I was like, yeah. I was a bit like, I don't know. But then eventually he also met my agent and everything. They also came to my gigs when we were playing together, actually.
Yeah.
It was my family in Amsterdam.
Yeah,
it was super nice.
Funny, yeah.
And they were like, this is actually, techno is actually a thing, you know?
Yeah.
There's people, you know? Because for them, I mean, they come from a completely different background and they really don't know that there's a lot of work, you know, into music, in art in general. And especially I think for those people who don't have a job like art related, it's a bit hard for understand that you can actually make a living out of it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, it's...
But you guys met only 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How?
Was it 2 years actually? A year and a half?
I think even a year.
Yeah, it was not so long ago.
Because we met May 2000.
We used to write to each other before, obviously.
No, but I think the first time you wrote me was like April 2020.
Yeah, I have to check it. So I wrote him because, basically he was releasing his first release on Katana Records.
Oh, my label,
His label.
I think, you wrote me shortly after.
And I discovered him like quite randomly. I don't remember exactly how. Maybe Jaco showed me a track of him. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But at my place, anyways. And I listened to it and I was like, wow, okay. Now we got something. And because I, in general, like with my taste, I'm like really selective. And here I really fell in love with this. And then I don't know, like I forgot about it. And I came to my girlfriend's place back in France. She lives in France actually. And she was playing his track again. And I was like, I heard that. And it's super sick. And then I don't know why, out of nowhere, did I write you?
I think you wrote me,
And I just said like sick release or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But then he did it in such a like a friendly way, because I mean I don't like hold conversation a lot on DMs,
but me really neither. I write an artist to say his music, to be honest.
Yeah, I think something clicked.
Yeah,
and then we just kept talking.
And then I sent him demos, some of the tracks I released recently, and he was sending me videos of himself, being like, "Wow, is this sick?"
And then he kept me, and then I eventually sent him more stuff back. Yeah. And he sent me another video. I was like, okay, this guy is funny.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
And then, I don't know how.
And then we met in the summer when I was in Berlin.
Yeah.
I remember at the park in Mitte, I think. There was also Frederick.
We met there. Right.
Yeah, right.
And then
we spontaneously had like our first studio session.
Yeah.
That summer. And it just.
And then from that studio session, like.
We kept.
Yeah. Like this was insane.
Yeah.
Like. I mean, I guess we're going to get on into this later. But yeah, it was like
basically
something.
You slided in my DMs.
No, I mean, you know, like
it's okay.
I am very Cartesian guy, but here if there is something about like spirituality, I don't know what's up, but I think it's crazy like the way we work together in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, we sat and we started producing. He showed me some of his technique. I showed him some of mine. And we were like, okay. And he started with an idea. I built up onto this. He built up onto this. It went so natural. so naturally.
They really left room for each other.
Yeah, so naturally. And then
which is like, rare, okay. I think, when you produce with someone else.
Yeah. And I mean, even though the first track we made were not amazing compared to what we do right now, it was already like better than both of our track at that time. Like,
when we were
wondering how to describe how we act when we are in the studio. And I think it's just, I don't know if you're familiar with Dragon Ball Z, but at some points there is
Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
It's like an anime, you know?
Yeah.
So there is like this, the hero is called Goku, and this friend is called Vegeta, and they can fusion together with doing this, you know?
And then it's like,
when they fusion, like they get super strong. Like Gogeta?
Yeah, Gogeta.
And that's basically us, I think. Like, when we go to the studio, we just like sit, talk to each other, like, okay, which direction do we go? And then we just improvise and get super productive
and I think
all the time.
We make music sometimes, then we look at each other and it's like, fuck, I think I would have never been able to do it alone.
You know? No, it's not this. Like, all the music.
All the music is way better than my
music. It's way better than new music. I mean, I'm so excited to release it because
it's
just next level. I mean, it's the first time also. That's also, I think I was like talking with Lois about it. Mm. And I said, like, I'm so hyped about this project of us because it's the first time I make music that I really like believe in that I believe in what it's gonna like the impact it's gonna have in the scene. I mean, I like the stuff I release, right? But still, like, I don't play it that much, and I mean, I always think that this could be better or whatever. But the track we make, I think they are just like what they are, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't say perfect, but like, they don't need much more, and they are just standing out all the time.
How would you say it differs from what you normally create then?
That's a good,
good question.
So, I think at least I speak for my end.
Yeah.
In my creative process, I would say I'm very like, I like to do a lot of stuff and like just catch ideas constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as a result, some of my tracks, they have lots of like, not perfect things, you know? And I think I just rather make a lot. And even though they're not perfect and optimized,
yeah,
I think because he released an EP.
I like to see.
And he's more meticulous, I think, in
optimizing things.
Yeah,
but I have to say, this guy has like 1,000 of tracks.
Yeah. I'm a studio rat.
Yeah,
we should go out more.
But
I think the main difference is that when we blend together, it's like, you really kind of set like some barriers, I would say.
Some boundaries that we can just ping pong constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. While if we would just do it alone, it's like, and I just take stuff here and there.
I think it's hard like to say what really differs, but I would say that it's just like, I don't know, it's that's why I used this analogy before with the Dragon Ball Z, because I it's really like we do stuff I couldn't come up with alone.
Yeah.
And I heard your tracks, and I think it's the same for you. I don't know. It's just like the production techniques and the because for me, like, you have two ways of like doing good music. You are either super technical, or you are like, you have a strong sense of aesthetic, like of knowing what to put where and why. And I think we just like have something that's match. Like, we have like kind of the same vision, same taste, but still like a tiny like different enough so that it builds up on each other, you know?
Yeah. It's not that one of us is less creative or like less technical.
And it's like we it's not something like he does the drum, I do the synth. Like, it's just like we start like okay, let's craft the drums, and then we just like go with a loop, and then I'm every time like the first one who's on front of the computer, then the one next to him just take the lead for a sec just to modify something, then goes back.
So also it's really nice, like, because I would say also one time I produce on my laptop, one time on his laptop.
Yeah.
So it's really changed as well.
Yeah.
So you're similar then? In the studio you are similar and work kind of is symbiosis.
I think it's really like one person working, but because like every element we put there is nothing that the other hasn't touched. So every time we put an additional element, both of us worked on it.
I think it's really exactly as like a same person.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is someone like looking above and like giving hints maybe here and there.
Yeah.
Kind of change the vibe or like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because for example, when you, let's say you do like the drums or like, I can just step back and I would say 100% no, you will do what
yeah,
I like.
Yeah, but me too,
you know?
For you. Like, yeah, exactly, that's the first, yeah. Like, and it's funny because sometimes like, so now it's so like natural that like we can literally do 4 tracks in less than an hour.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's really crazy. And sometimes like we don't feel it and we stick like for 1 hour on the track.
Yeah.
And we both are like getting super tired and suddenly like the idea comes. And we get back on it and we're like, oh!
The thing is, we talk a lot when something inspires us. And then let's say we don't like drums or something.
Mm.
Then we just stop talking.
That's true. That's
like,
so true,
so
man.
So bored until we find something that we like. It's happened so many times,
sometimes,
right?
The silence is so long.
It's so long.
And we know, like we both implicitly know that...
That it's shit. And then we keep going and then we energize again.
Yeah. Because we really get hyped from making music. That's it, you know? Mm. It's really crazy. Like when we get the killer loop, we're just so hyped about it. And then comes the arrangement.
Yeah, the arrangement. I never do the arrangement.
No, actually you do it.
Yeah, but I hate it.
50-50 we do. But yeah.
Anyway,
but
we don't differ.
But
much,
we came up with the best arrangements of our life. That's the thing.
Yeah, true.
Like it's funny because like, since we had to do something special, we came up with very specific ideas for the arrangement and so on. I mean, we are going super far now.
Yeah.
That's it.
I love it. Seeing your dynamic together, it's so sweet.
Yeah. But I think also, this body language thing that we stay silent is
crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. But also like...
Also, I think when we play also together...
I think our personality really translates also in the tracks, like especially with the arrangement, you know, like
little... Yeah, little
joke
details.
We make sometimes like we like to take like very I mean it's funny because we talk a lot about it and no one can have like an example to really listen to what we say, but the music will be released, don't worry guys. But we take sounds like drum sounds, synth sounds that are like super stigmatized, but not necessarily in a bad way, but just for what they represent in a track, you know, like let's say like a ride sound, which is a sound of a drum that comes to like really intensify the tracks. And we use it in another way, you know, like we just like
to tease people
or just like to kind of question its actual role in the track.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of small things.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't dare to even compare ourselves to like modern art, you know, but like that's what like they were doing, like Duchamp or something like they took like very like strong symbolic things and they just put them in another context, and if it's well done, I think it really like makes the track like stand out somehow.
Yeah.
So that's stuff that I didn't do before, and I guess you too. And it came up not necessarily like as a goal, but now and it came up as a joke.
Sometimes
we were just like, okay, let's put that.
Let's put this here.
And then we were like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
True. And some melodies.
We do it a lot now.
I write a MIDI pattern of a drum or like a melody, and I just and we write it. It sounds good, and then he turns around just to check something, and then like I randomly click on 3 notes to make it look like either cheesy or either cringe. Because and sometimes the cringe or the cheesy is actually sick.
Yeah.
So we keep it. So that's like.
I think it's just important to have fun.
Yeah.
All the time.
And that's why we like producing together, because we.
And also when we play together, we tell a lot of jokes to each other.
Yeah.
While DJing in a club, you know.
Yeah.
And most people, they're like, why are they laughing?
What we say? Why we play? That's really funny.
So,
It must be a big difference to like go travel together than travel alone.
It's
my alarm. Not for what?
Hey, it's
for
time to wake up.
Yeah. No, let me just turn it off.
It's time
but
to
actually, wake up. We I have to say, we don't travel together. So
no.
We haven't done it yet because when we played as Funkasol, we came, like our gig before was a solo gig.
Mm-hmm.
So we just traveled we had three different itineraries, I think.
Yeah.
Then we just meet at the hotel or whatever.
But it's true that no matter the gigs, the time would flow super fast together rather than alone. Like that's
so it's very different.
Like we really make a lot of jokes, but like stupid jokes, because the setup where we play is like we have like one zone, one mixer each, and three CDJ each, or four sometimes.
Yeah,
and that's where you see also how natural we are when we play or produce, because we don't talk that much about the music itself, but we sometimes
have no idea. I have no idea which track you will play.
The only time we make jokes is just like if one did like two more transitions than the other one like stops playing and is like, can I play now?
Yeah, exactly.
stuff like this.
It's like, can I drop the bass, man?
Yeah. Or like the, let's say for example, when the kick bass of one track is a bit weak, the other comes to him and is like, sick track, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that a lot. And also, for example, he always play like a track that I don't like.
Which one?
The one by Technasia.
To the floor?
Yeah,
I think you don't like this one?
I think so, but that's not the problem. Cool. And he also doesn't like a track that I play, and we usually play it. And every time I look at him, like,
I didn't know you didn't like that track. Okay.
Yes.
I think it's actually like a huge banger, but
that's music.
One thing that differs you, but I want to hear another thing that annoys you with the other person. And if you could only choose one thing that inspires you with the other person, also, what would that be?
What annoys you with me?
Think
you're going to set the scale of being mean to each other, okay?
No, I think it's the. It's not really that annoys me, but as I told you before when describing you, I think you really, I think in general you demand a lot from the people surrounding you, and for how I am, and for how chilled I am, I think sometimes this clash
into
my way of living, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm very like chill, and if I say okay, let's meet at 11, it's like 11:20 maybe. Depends, you know, stuff like this, which is not really annoying, but I think it's just
sometimes
it's like
I get
it's that. Difficult for how
that,
I am, you know?
That's I think the thing I got from anyone anyways, and it's like also I mean it's really nice in some ways because it allows me to push myself a lot, but sometimes
but also you push me a lot for example, but like
you inspire me a lot also because of the way you see life, you know, like not everything is a challenge, not everything is something you need to be the best at, or I mean not the best, but like put yourself like in a crazy rush or whatever, and it's for me it's really tiring also like to be like this, to be super demanding. But it's also something that I like about myself. So it's a bit challenging, but whatever. So, okay, yeah, I take that.
You take that?
Yeah, big time, big time. I mean, I could say, to give a really easy answer, I could say, like, sometimes you have to chill.
Yeah.
Like, it's really easy answer. Yeah. Like, let's say, like, we plan a release or whatever, and I'm like yeah, send a message now to get the because we need to figure out which tracks, and like, I tend to, like, schedule and like overthink a lot about stuff.
Yeah, you do it. Yeah.
But in addition to this, let's say that you're late.
You're like, which is true. Which is true.
Because actually, it's funny. Like I was saying to him before coming to the place, I said like, I'm actually always late myself.
Yeah.
But not for you.
He's always on time. I know he's not on time. Always. He's like, man, where are you?
Yeah.
I'm always there. Man, I'm coming. Jesus.
No, but. But I think that's it. Like,
and then I think one thing inspires you.
Ah, yeah.
No, that inspire me of you. It's how, and I think it's also linked to the fact that you're stubborn and demanding. Mm-hmm. It's how dedicated and committed you are to something. You know, because I'm seeing like, fuck, he has the university, he has the gigs, he has the mastering,
the label.
Yes, you do events,
uh-huh.
And like wow, it's inspiring. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, yeah, I think Alarico gives me like another way of seeing life, because for me, like you get super good and like super talented at what you are by working. And Alarico gives me this other way of seeing things where he works hard, like let's be honest, but he doesn't like kill himself at work and he's still so good at what he does. Because he's really spontaneous and natural. And I think he gives me this other way of seeing things, because it also works in this way. So yeah, that's what I think I really like about you. Yeah.
It feels like we very much touched on it, but like if you would then say how do you feel, what's your way of like when you think about work-life balance, mm-hmm. how do you see that when it comes to your own lives?
I think it's interesting and linked to also what we said in the beginning in terms of like, you feel like you're really working.
Yeah.
Because I think, I don't know about you, but like, as soon as I wake up, I'm like, okay, like, I don't know, I have to check something about music, whether like, you know,
yeah.
could be, I don't know, like some stupid stuff on social media or like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. Like, and that's from right where I wake up until like the, until when I sleep. Yeah. Because also, for example, yeah, we work as artists, but it doesn't feel like you're really working. Yeah. And then we text, for example, I text you all day and we mostly talk about music. So even until late, we're just music, 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 mm-hmm. which sometimes is a bit like exhausting, I think. And because, for example, I don't know, I'm not, I think we're not being artists since long time. I mean, at least maybe I think I started a little bit later than him, at like having gigs and traveling.
Yeah, like half a year.
Yeah, half a year later. Yeah. But when I went on holiday, this summer was like the first holiday after being started working as an artist.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I was like, okay, I'm just gonna shut my phone.
Yeah,
I don't want to have Instagram notification, like no nothing.
Yeah,
because and now, for example, I even removed my Instagram notification. Like, I
me too.
Don't wanna have
me too. I have like WhatsApp and Instagram off.
It's hard to really balance like what is work and how can I really be relaxed, or should I always be aware of like something that is happening that I'm not aware of? You know,
stuff like this.
I don't know what you think, but
for me, it's like I mean. I for me it's just like I dedicate my life to work.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like last time I like I actually went drinking like having a drink with a friend like last week, but last time was 6 months ago. Yeah. Like, you know, like I think I built my whole identity through my work and my like the fact of being dedicated to putting out stuff and being useful. I don't know how to say that, but my whole life, I mean, not my whole life, because when I was a teenager, I didn't care that much. And I was just like, you know, like when you're at school, it's actually cool because you don't ask yourself much questions and you just deliver.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And now that like I'm out, like I need, I have to kill myself at work. I mean, but it's also something that is really rewarding to for me. So like now that we talked about this, like sense of feeling useful and so on, I just give myself, I just do myself a schedule. So I wake up at 8 and then I work until 6, let's say, but I never work until 6. Like if we count work as being as or just like figuring out a name for an event, I always tend to work until 10 in the evening.
Yeah.
And at some point I'm like, okay, like let's just chill now and just like watch videos of something different, like watch videos of physics or whatever, and just like chill for a bit, because I also went like during COVID, like I was into like a I don't know if it's dark, but I just overdid work, like it was an accumulation of everything, and I fell into like a sort of burnout. I mean, it was a burnout, let's be honest, and I learned a lot from that. So now I'm more able to tell myself, okay, it's okay, you can chill, you can like do something else. And I had to learn it the hard way. But
for me, for example, when my girlfriend comes home, I know, okay, now we can just relax, because you don't live with your girlfriend, I think it's a bit harder to like kind of
Yes.
Flag off. If you have someone, I think your partner, yeah. you are both at home, it's like, okay, now I'm just not going to start producing.
I have Loic.
Yeah, Loic
is a...
But still, he does music as well.
So. True, but...
when you know what together, I mean in terms of...
Yeah.
But just, it's the sense of the time is stopped. Like someone yeah, is telling exactly. you, now it's finished. Now yep. the day is off. Yep. But how did you get out of the... How did you manage to come out from that dark place?
With help. Both of my parents are psychologists. And I was never scared of seeing someone or whatever, because I think for me, this is like... Everyone should see a psychologist, to be honest. Like, it's mental health is... as important as yeah. as physical health, and we still like have stigmas and struggle to do it. But for me, it's like yeah,
psychology.
But
yeah.
and still, like it's you can only get better.
Yeah.
And that's the crazy thing. Like that's the whole paradox about managing your own emotion and knowing yourself. Like, but whatever. And so I figured out like at that time I was like, okay, I don't. It's the first time of my life because I used to have a lot of control. I mean. I like to have control on everything. And first time of my life where I actually had no control on what I was feeling. And I was not able to get up in the morning and so on. And I said, okay, now I need help. So I just looked for someone to help me, found someone. And I don't know, like support from my parents, my girlfriend being really understanding at the time because she went through a lot thanks to me. And we are still together right now. And yeah, like, it's, you know, like it's really cliche, but now it's, I think there is nothing more true than just time is the answer. Like, it just takes time. Like if you have to work for it, obviously. And now that those kind of things can come back sometimes, but I'm way less, more chill about it because I know that I won't have an answer to my problem right now because I like to have things right now. Also, I won't have an answer right now. Let's just. Like I know, but I can tell myself, okay, in 1 month you will probably be at another place mentally, so you can chill about it. And now I'm able to do that. So yeah, I think like just being helped, you know, yeah. that's what you need in the end. Like,
I think also not being ashamed of being helped.
Yeah. Also, that was really one thing that's really helped and that made me kind of recover fast. Is that I was really not ashamed of being like this. Like I told it to anyone. Because I know my behaviors would change with the people yeah. and so on. So I just said, like, I was just honest. Like, I was like, yeah, listen, like, I'm such in a shitty mood. And I was, very talkative about it. And I came back to Switzerland for a while or so. And also starting this master's degree. So when this happened to me, I was like, okay, I need to do something right now. Like, something that is more stable, let's say. Because it also got triggered by the fact that during COVID, we had... So many geeks cancelled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I started this master's degree. This helped also. Like, it's funny, I got help through work in the end, but it's just by meeting people that have other center of interest yeah. and also telling myself, okay, you're able, because I got enrolled in this master's degree, although I was not supposed to, because I did a bachelor's degree in music.
It's super valid to change perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And I got I got a bachelor's degree in music and I got enrolled in a master's degree, which is more about management, finance, economics, and so on. And I got into it because on paper, my CV looks really ace because I run a successful music label, organize events with a high budget all around Europe and so on. But everything is self-taught. It's so sketchy. Yeah, sketchy. But on paper, it looks amazing. Yeah. So I managed to get enrolled thanks to that because, yeah, you can apply if you are not a student from business and so on. Mm. So, yeah, this helped also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you also have any period in life that was like struggle for you or?
I mean, I think I always got a lot of love by people surrounding me and never really had like a very dark period.
It's
where
coming.
I was like,
yeah, wait for it.
Yeah. Finger crossed.
No, now
it's going amazing.
It's okay. Yeah.
No, but I mean, I think everyone has up and downs. It's just not being afraid to. I always told everyone how I felt, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
we talk a lot like about our feelings. And
yeah,
stuff,
big time. So. The only time I felt you were a bit bad, it's when this you weren't sure about finishing uni and so on, and you were super
super
concerned about that. I remember.
Yeah, that was. But yeah. It wasn't really dark. It was
no,
like,
it was not. But you were really you were anxious. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit anxious from my parents and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you.
No, you can ask. I just almost finished. I would say I never had that very dark period because I was always surrounded by people who really loved me. So it's always
helps
when you have someone who you can openly talk about anything. So
that's very true.
Yeah,
like that's also a stigma that men can't speak about their emotions.
That's boring.
It seems like you two can speak to each other
about
But the thing is,
in general, myself, since I like to be the best version of me, I know that if you want to be the best version of yourself, you have to work on it. And how do you work on your emotion if you don't talk about it? For me, people I should weight my word because I have very strong words that's like comes with my personality, I guess. But anyway, so people that can't accept or face their emotion, for me, it's like a really strong weakness. Like if you are not able to talk because you're ashamed or whatever, like you're not going to be better at anything. Because that's what's gonna like restrain you from
I think it's also come with a fear of people.
Of course. But it shouldn't, because you can only work on it by talking about it. So
that's also a nice question, because I think also in our, if you look back at our short friendship, hopefully long.
But intense.
Very intense.
She's not talking at all.
That interview, I swear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You could do.
Don't worry, we can just talk about it.
No. Yeah, you're doing great.
So, what is the next release?
No, it's
come sit here.
Yeah,
I prefer watching anyway. It's good.
Enjoy your holidays. No, but I think if you look back and how when we started, chatting and being friends, we were also like way more open about problems. And in the beginning, we were a bit scared. I think to hurt each other, to like openly confront each other about what we think. And that's why we, in the like past few months, we had like a couple of, wouldn't call it argument, but like.
Yeah, let's be honest. We had some, but it was not wild.
Not wild. Like.
And there was this one about this label, you know, I can't mention.
Yeah.
But this wasn't an argument, but it was really nice because like each other demons kind of came out.
Yeah.
And we could talk about it, which I never did with anyone with who I worked. And that
it put us in a very like challenging position, I would say.
Yeah.
But from that, like, we were like, okay, there is this problem.
It could have really exploded. A lot of friendship could have got broken through that.
Like it was really tough for us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really understood like, okay, Charles is really like, he's really my best friend.
Was making me feel anxious. Like,
exactly. That's the thing. We were really open, and we said, "Okay, these things about you made me anxious and stuff."
Yeah.
But not really pointing the finger at you, like. And also, I was like, "Okay, what did I do?
Yeah,
towards you that made you feel this way?" And he also did the same. So it was very nice.
Yeah.
And we're here.
Yeah, you can. So
if we would look at the scene in abroad, do you have any like fears and hopes for it? If we look at the future.
The future. I mean, a good question. Go on if you have an idea already. I'm going to think about it for a sec.
Yeah, I think so, especially after COVID, I think the scene really changed its shape a lot and attracted much more people. And I have this general feeling that everyone is kind of rushing stuffs and...
Mm-hmm.
You cannot really rush something arty related.
Totally not.
You can rush maybe in terms of gaining more skills and being better at something by really like working on it a lot. But in terms of like having nice ideas and a vision, that's really important. Having a vision of your music and art, it really takes time and effort. Yeah. Like really. A lot of time, and when I see, like, I'm a bit of afraid that it in the future there will be more and more people just joining the hype train and like wanting to be.
I mean, this already exists.
Yeah, it already exists, but I think in it's getting through exposure on social media and giving exposure to the wrong people.
Yeah,
because of a viral TikTok song or like whatever, you know, it really can send the wrong message, you know.
Yeah. I agree with like the social media thing. I mean, a lot of people are bashing on it, but I mean, like, I don't know if it's for the future or not, but like definitely during COVID, I don't know if it's COVID that made this. I think just the whole like scene like got this natural evolution because now, let's be honest, it's pop music. Like, let's be really honest. Like, what we do is pop music. Like, it's popular music. Like, it's not underground. Like, since Instagram exists, it's not underground. And it's really funny because, like, it's getting super famous. I think it's like a societal thing. Like, techno gets famous as the same reason why vinyl got famous, because you have this sense with techno that you go back to something more essential. And I think in our society where we overconsume anything and that we have everything in the cloud, everything digital and stuff, we like to be like able to be closely connected to something. So vinyl, because it's an object and you feel like you have a strong bias, by the way, when you listen to vinyl, because you think it's better because of it's an object itself. And I guess techno, like coming back to something more primal and so on, like it's really marketable. Because, and it's funny because you think you would go to something more primal and that with stronger values and so on, but now that it's being popular and completely systemized, like it got into the system in which we are, it's everything but that. Like, it's not at all it became exclusive. If you are not wearing this clothes, you're not like the techno guy. Do you have people making, I mean, that's just my opinion, but you have people making tutorials on how to dance on techno. I mean, what is this, to be honest?
It's
like, I just don't understand. And this is like consolidating the market itself, you know, like, so I still believe that we have like amazing artists popping out. Like, I think the music that is getting out nowadays, no matter what the boomers will say, is way better than anything that was made. Yeah. Like, you have talents popping up from everywhere. Super good music, super challenging. That's one of the good things of the popularization, you know, like competition.
Yeah, it's much more and as like an
healthy competition. Yeah.
It pushes, I think, art forward. Yeah.
But it's true that the social networks, the dynamics are, in my opinion, how to say it, like a bit fucked up. Like the fact that that like the algorithm of post recommendation on Instagram like will definitely promote as someone who tends to starify himself.
Yeah.
So like starification, I think, is also something I don't really vibe with in general. Like, that's why I started, and I love techno, because it's not like something where the focus is put on the DJ and himself doing like super huge hard movement. Yeah, you know, like it's focused on like on craft, on differentiating yourself. Yeah, researching and so on and so on. Like, supposed to be like a geek nerdy thing, you know?
Yeah. And it's
and now like the social media, even though like we could say thousands of things, positive things, without social media we wouldn't know each other.
Yeah.
For example, it's great for many things, but also the way you get popular on it. And I mean, it's cool to express yourself, like, don't get me wrong. But I think there is an issue when anyone likes stuff which creates like a reaction. So if you post something, like if you get famous for the way you behave or your physical attribute or the way you put them out or the way you are as a you know, like the way you I don't know, like you depict yourself as someone rather than for your art, I think.
Yeah.
Something like both the artist or the person should ask himself or herself or themselves about, as the public, because the real problem is also the public. Like, I get to people, like, for example, friends or even you and I, like, we send sometimes each other like a post, we're like, yeah, nice, like as a joke, you know? Then we're like, yeah, okay, but it's true. Like, everyone think it's just a like, but in the end,
you're supporting
this is
someone,
support.
You know?
And
I think in general, I think people should be more also educated.
Yeah,
how to use social media in a healthy way.
This is actually fun. I was speaking about this, I think, this weekend.
Yeah.
That if you post something and you get hate comments,
yeah,
they're basically, it's like their loss, because they're basically getting that post up in their feed, like that person's post up in their feed
just
all the
runs
time,
better,
and they're
yeah.
supporting the post. It's like,
yeah.
okay,
yeah, totally. I mean, and a lot of people, I mean, it's so funny because I got to talk to so many promoters and people, and they're like, yeah, this person is fake. They pretend to be DJ, blah, blah, blah. And who is on their lineup afterwards? Them. If this is gonna bring, like, money is always an issue. I know I'm sometimes too much, but like, I'm gonna think thousands of times before putting a like on something, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're just validating something that
it goes against.
Yeah, what you're against of, you know?
Or,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Your values are. Then,
so, yeah. I think, yeah, my fear is just that. To be honest, I'm not so feared because, like, a lot of people are saying it's the death of techno because now this more like, I mean, for me, it's not techno. It's just like another style, which I respect, like hard rave music. Like, it's getting super huge,
yeah.
But it's not the death. Like, it's just like another just branch evolving, to the tree, yeah, of electronic music. Oops, sorry.
Yeah.
And the techno that we make,
I think,
and so
techno that we intended. Like the core of it.
Yeah, this still exists and this goes super well.
And it's still strong and there's people who are really pushing the purity of the style. I think.
Yeah, yeah. But I kind of join you with what you said. I think it's really clever. Like even in our style, there is a lot of people rushing it. And
Or like overdoing pause just because they have to pause that they played at this club, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to, because I think people...
What club? I'm kidding.
No, but I think people are searching constant validation of their art and they're really overdoing it. Mm-hmm. And if you really have a vision and you can just use social media as a tool to kind of push you further, but at the same time, not, you shouldn't put that tool over your art, you know?
Yep.
So it's all about balancing.
Yeah, and I think like it's kind of paradoxical because like the democratization of the whole techno got us to end up with a lot of new person getting in the game.
Yep.
So just by DJing first, it's great that we have a lot of people DJing actually, and because it like it educates the public somehow. But the thing is that now that it's so easy to promote yourself through something different than the music you do first, you have a lot of people that are DJs and that, like, I mean, you can like, don't get me wrong, DJing is an art by itself, but I think the fact that we don't focus on that first makes sometimes the whole scene or like the whole thing a bit weaker in terms of quality, because, like, I mean, yeah, sure, an artist can be an artist not only for its art, but also its person's character. But I think, and that's just my opinion, like, I think, like, you should, like, push first your craft and then see about your character.
Yeah.
So so the fact that the accessibility of the whole medium is good, but also at some point we need, like, people need to know that this is not just, like, the like, you should, like, listen carefully, like, okay, why is he making such transition? Does it really fit? How do I feel about it? Why do I like it? Because people don't ask themselves enough. Sometimes I feel why I enjoy it, you know, like we just enjoy it and that's it. And
also because we don't have so much time, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
We're
exactly.
stressed with everything. Everything exactly. is rushed all the time. Yeah. And social media is like,
exactly.
if you're there for like 5 minutes, you're going to go through 150 posts.
Yeah. yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, but yeah. you are like, and it's keeps speeding up. Right?
And yeah. also that's the thing. You have a lot of content and to be up there in the feed, you gotta have like the craziest gig videos, you know? And that's why
yeah.
people are seeking that, you know? They're not really seeking, okay, how do I craft my art further? Like, how can I develop as an artist? I wanna have the craziest gig videos and I want getting filmed with a fishbowl so it
looks. No, but you know, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Exactly.
But it's as a result, as you said.
One, aside from its accessibility through melodies and huge kicks,
yeah.
this is why rave music became so popular.
For
because
example,
even for myself, when I see a video of a huge stadium full of people shouting on a with huge stroboscopes and so on, it's impressive.
It's impressive.
It creates reaction. Like, how? Like, of course, like, it's not marketable, like a video of like a shady clubs with like no much light, but some
people's.
And someone doing like very complex transitions. Like,
this
is not gonna work that much, of course. So, yeah, I mean,
but still, it comes with not having time and having
exactly.
too much stuff to
because they see, and you can see like when you post like videos where you can't see yourself that much because videos work well on Instagram, right? And like, if the videos are a bit dark and can't see the public or the DJ that much, like, it's gonna get 50% less likes because of that.
It's crazy. Like,
so
as much as, because the thing is, maybe those people, and for you as an artist, like, for example, I had like in my memory, like gigs where I was like, fuck, this was one of the best gigs ever.
Yeah.
And you know, also was toxic, this social media thing. I was like, but I don't have a gig video to post.
Yeah,
also that's kind of what
Because you think about this. Yeah, of course.
Or also I had like, because the problem is, let's say you have a wonderful gig, you know, and you really connect with the crowd. There's like just like 30 people on the dance floor, you know. And then let's say you post that video. No one will ever understand it. Doesn't matter if it wasn't like the craziest cinematic stuff.
Yeah.
You maybe change someone's opinion on something in that night, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And
yeah,
no, that's the power of art, but it doesn't transpose on social media.
It's I can definitely intellectualize it, but then interiorizing it is something totally different. But yeah, that's true. I mean, also maybe one last thing, like I think that it's important sometimes. I mean, I hate to categorize too much things, and I think we are perpetually doing this. But also, it's true that through social media, there was a very interesting article about this. I think from Facebook. No, I don't remember. Like about this TikTok rave thing, you know. Like, the only issue I have is that these are being marketed as being techno, and I think it's important. And I remember, like, actually, like, I don't know if I can mention the artist, but a huge artist told me that his brother came to him and said, and this artist is actually doing, like, really, like, proper, old, like techno that was made at first when techno became something, right? And his brother came to him and he said, yeah, I love techno, but what you do is not techno. And he was like, why? And he said, because...
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And then he showed him like videos on TikTok of someone playing at 155 BPM, hard shrunks, whatever. Like, he was like, this is techno.
Yeah.
What you play is like super chill.
Yeah.
And I think this is maybe just a theory I could have at some point, but I generally believe that there would still be a scene for us and so on and so on. Just like the fact that as it's being marketed as being techno, people rather focus on something that for me isn't, and then do not get educated about the values and so on of it. So, yeah. And the hopes, I mean, I think it's just going in somehow in a good direction, but it's as anything that is being, that is entering the system in which we live, we will face the issues that are everywhere. And the system in which we live, let's be honest, is kind of fucked. So I'm a bit scared also that in 10 years, due to sustainability and so on, we tend to not play that much. Mm. But I think the industry will have to face a very strong shift with that.
Yeah.
Because like we just reached the production of oil, the peak of production of oil was reached like 5 years ago or something. Yeah. So now like it's only gonna decrease, except if we find new resources. But there will be at some point, like we're not gonna be able to travel by plane at some
travel
point,
that
and
long, yeah,
probably less than 50 years. So, it will like music industry will have to face this shift, and I hope it will be done good, like in a good way. But it can be also something to be scared about, and
because also people, when they see you on stage, they just see 2 hours.
Yeah,
and it's like this is just the fun part. Like
the
very tiring stuff is like there's a lot of work into that, like in the transportation and stuff.
So that's also
a big issue related to music.
Yeah, I mean the starification in general.
Yeah,
that's like the fact that we starify also artists. I think has a lot of downsides, and this is one of them. Like the fact of expecting so much from them, or just being like such a fan that anything that this person do, we will accept it.
Yeah,
and that's
also,
I think it's not okay, but whatever.
Sorry, I'm talking too much.
We have now come to the part of the podcast where if you're a Patreon, you'll get to listen to the extra material where we speak about things they wish they knew when they were younger, as well as how they know when a track is done or not. If you're a fan, you don't want to miss this part. Go to patreon.com/playfulmagazine.
But now I'm going to lighten this up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure.
So I'm going to play a game.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
What?
Love that. What?
It's either this or it's that. This is this or that.
This is called Who's Most Likely To.
Oh,
man.
Okay, all right, all right.
Prepare my whole life to do with someone, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
But it was going to be my wife. But
you're so excited.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's going to be really funny.
Okay, so yeah, so you know it. It's like a wedding. You take the one shoe of each, but no shoes here. But no. You say who, yeah. I'm going to say a statement, and you say which one it fits in to the most of the two of you.
Okay, okay.
Go to court over a contract dispute.
Charles. Big time. To big time. Like, I will not give a fuck.
Yeah. You, yeah.
Okay, become the old grumpy neighbor.
Charles.
Grumpy. Ah, grumpy. Yeah. Charles. Neighbor. Yeah. I mean, I there is anything I want never to be the boomer, like never ever. So
that's a grumpy statement.
But I can be grumpy. That's true. Okay, I take it.
Okay. Good.
Okay. To cheat with the Müllraum sorting.
What?
To cheat with the Müllraum sorting, like put the carton in the plastic or whatever. Like to just be like, fuck, I need to sort this, but let's put it all in one.
I can.
I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I do it myself sometimes.
Yeah, for maybe both. Yeah. Both.
I mean, no. Okay, more you.
More
yeah.
Me.
Yeah, more you.
Let's
more
say
you.
51% me.
Yeah. 51. Yeah.
Okay, get thrown out of the club.
Me.
Yeah, I would say you, yeah.
But
if you're too loud.
Yeah, man. If I speak too loud, because I'm Italian. I'm like, hey. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a compliment.
Go all in on a conspiracy theory.
So I don't know if you know, but I'm a really big conspiracy theory fan. Really?
Fan.
Yeah, I love me too. Conspiracy. Okay.
Yeah, me too. But
I would go all
but,
in.
No, but I don't believe in them.
Ah, you don't believe you in do? Them? Bro.
What the fuck? Really?
I will show you which some one? Stuff later.
I'm gonna debunk your stuff instantly.
Okay. Like, okay, then let's talk.
Except if it's, I mean, I don't know. If you show me chemtrails, obviously I'm gonna tell you what the fuck. But if you show
but
me
not
something,
the boomer, like, not the boomers on the really like I mean, scientific, like really.
But there is some stuff.
But trust
like,
me, bro.
Because I mean, it's complicated. Like some conspiracy.
Some conspiracy are
somehow sometimes true. Like
yeah.
Like sometimes, like the truth is a kind of.
I would take it.
But yeah, okay.
I would make proof later.
Let's see.
Let's go all in.
Yeah, let's see. I'm crazy. I'm gonna check. Okay, let's check it. Okay, I didn't know about this. Sick.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for letting us discover.
Yeah. Thank
our
you.
Dark sides.
Okay. Be strict about bedtime or keeping to a certain food schedule.
I guess me.
Yeah, maybe yeah. You, but.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you. That's more time. More you. Yeah, more you. More likely you.
Yeah.
Okay, likely. This one I guess no one now. But who is most likely to stay at the club for 3 days straight?
Oh,
Charles.
Me. Yeah. Yeah.
Charles.
Yeah. If I go party, I go party really hard.
You just.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy it. Yeah.
You know what? Let's.
Yeah.
Okay, to storm off the stage because of a. Terrible sound engineer.
Charles.
Yeah. I think you're more diplomatic, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't get mad at anyone. But still, I mean, I wouldn't do such a radical move. But still, like.
But I think you're more like when we go on stage.
Yeah. I mean,
you're always the one like.
For example, at a gig of Alarico.
Yeah.
And I think I wouldn't have played, and he played.
Yeah.
So
it was a very bad radical. Let's say it was a radical sound related situation.
Yeah.
And I played.
And I think he wouldn't. I wouldn't because I would have been so frustrated.
Yeah.
And
I was just like.
For me, no point in playing if you're frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was chill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's more him.
Yeah.
Also, yeah.
To buy a sports car.
You, I guess.
Yeah. I love cars.
Which one would you get?
I'm a big fan of Japanese cars. Like
really?
The
Hyundai. No, what's this? There are a lot of cars. Like, because. I'm not a fan of cars, but I'm really interested into the hype of it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't never get a car, but I follow like a lot of channels that talks about cars.
Yeah,
and I know.
I'm all about
Nissan.
The Skyline.
Yeah,
of course.
How do you know?
Because it's a legendary car.
Yeah,
Midnight
yeah.
Club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We love car games.
We used to
take
play
a Skyline GTR.
Yeah, bro. 34. Me too. It was so cheap. Yeah. Like it was such
the
a
best.
Good car.
Yeah, so it's me. Yeah.
Okay. Just.
Yeah.
To zoom out of a conversation, but still answer as if you still heard what was said.
To what? To zoom out
of the conversation, yeah. But still answer as if you heard.
Oh,
what
I
was
think
said.
It's you. You know why?
Because
you have a lot of multitasking stuff,
yeah.
And I think sometimes you're not present. Where you say,
yeah, sure. Yeah, that's totally.
And then like what?
Yeah,
think it's yours.
Like my girlfriend,
because you do a lot of stuff. You have always busy.
My girlfriend is now used to like telling me stuff twice.
Yeah. I think it's you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Last one. Quit DJing and start a practitioner with a shaman.
Shaman.
Not me.
Oh, I don't
no.
think I
want
to eat either.
No.
No one.
No one, yeah.
As I said, like, I'm really not spiritual.
No.
Yeah.
Very
Cartesian, like, yeah.
Maybe if you, like...
Try and choose another profession, and we will answer
yeah,
again.
That would be good, yeah.
Pizza maker.
Yeah, but maybe if you're close to death, like, a near-death experience, and then you need to, like, find some relief.
I mean... maybe I will. If I live a near-death experience, I mean, you know, like near-death experience. In the end, we don't really know if it's like a flux of hormone just right when you're about to die that triggers the hallucination. But maybe that I could switch. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like you cannot be.
We should try.
I have been in some near-death experience actually. Yeah. I nearly killed myself a couple of times.
Okay.
Yeah. But not you? Really?
No.
Okay.
Not really. I'm very chill.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you would.
Don't put myself in those.
Even by driving a car?
Ah, yeah, that was. Maybe.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks a lot, really.
Oh, yeah.
This was it for Playful Podcast this week, but please follow, subscribe, and listen to our next episode. And if you want to have a say about future artists or even ask your own question to one of our guests, follow us on Instagram and make sure to add your question when we lift our coming guests. Thank you so much for joining and see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.